Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
For the Niners, Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right, and Adrian. Handoff, Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle, across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shot. It's Warner. Watch out. He's got getting away from the clock speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 76 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not gone and checked out all the amazing partners we have over here at South Harmon, you can go check out all of them at southharmonff.com. With our friends over at Signed Shit, you can get all sorts of amazing box breaks for all kinds of amazing sports memorabilia. And then you can also head over to Certified Shit and go check out our friends Fanatics, where you can get all sorts of awesome gear to make sure that you have something to wear every time you're going out on a Saturday, on a Sunday. If you're celebrating other sports on other days of the week, you can go and do that too. So go check those things out, and then everything else we have on the website at southharmonff.com. This week is the first check-in week of Grinding the Edge this season. For this one, I'm going to be talking about some of the analysis I'm doing for my teams and making sure that I'm setting them up as I want to throughout this season. I would highly recommend taking the opportunity to do this with your teams. I'm talking to you on a Saturday morning, and while it's probably good to do this earlier before week four, this kind of advice that I have here is really more applicable for right after week four, as we're going into the week five buys. That's because what I'm doing is talking through how I'm deciding which teams are the ones that I'm going to be competing in, the ones that I'm rebuilding in, and if you're deciding that teams are rebuilding, then right at the beginning of week five is where you have the first round of bye weeks. A lot of teams that think they're competing are going to be like, oh crap, I need somebody to fill this lineup spot. And if you've already made that decision that you can go ahead and sell off players on your teams, then you have that leg up in terms of those negotiations and being able to start those Tuesday morning. Everything on Grinding the Edge builds on each other. And one of the things that we found all the way back in episode 5 is that trades happen the most on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So being prepared and knowing which of your teams is ready to hit that reset button, ready to sell off those players to anybody who wants them in order to get those retooling pieces, those are the places that you can take advantage of before anybody else in your league is able to get there. So with that, I wanted to go through and reevaluate all of my teams to make sure I have them all in the position that I want them to have. And I know that I have which ones are rebuilding, which ones are competing, and what I'm planning on doing with all of them. Now, I'm not going to go through all of my leagues. Those of you who know how many leagues I'm in 54 this season. That just does not make sense for me to step through all 54, because you're going to be hearing me for the next 2 hours if I were to do that. Instead, I'm going to talk through the parameters that I've done to help myself kind of narrow this down in order to put all my leagues into buckets. When you're playing in a portfolio, you need to have buckets for your leagues, so that way you know how you can focus on them. If you've got ones that are in a relatively stable bucket, then you might not need to spend as much time that week focusing on that league, outside of maybe if there's something that comes up. I know for me, I had a lot of shares of James Conner. So the fact that James Conner is out for the season is going to be something that I need to pay attention to in the leagues where I have him. But I don't need to do that in all 50 of my leagues. That's the kind of mentality you need to have when you're dealing with a portfolio. So let's talk about the first differentiation. Competing versus rebuilding. It's very easy to put teams into one of those two buckets. Ones where, hey, if somebody asks for a fair trade where you're getting a draft pick, are you just going to accept that immediately? Not even think about it. And so, at this point in the season, after 3 weeks, you have enough data to kind of tell, hey, is my team even close to having a shot or not? And so, the way I've done this for all of my lineup leagues is I need to have at least a top 8 score in either points for or record. If I don't have that, if I'm 9th through 12th in both of those categories, immediately that team has to go into the rebuilding bucket. There's no question about it. And so, when I went through all my teams, I did find that I had properly actually allocated every single team that should be in the rebuilding bucket. What surprised me was that I actually had 3 teams that I thought were going to be in that rebuilding bucket who are in that competing bucket. They met one of those 2 requirements. Now, some of these are not the best of teams. Some of them were, hey, I've got a team that, you know, has record of 9th and points 4 of 7th. So, like, not stellar. But it's doing better than maybe I initially thought. It's at least good enough that I don't have to force myself into saying this is for sure a rebuilding team. And instead, I created a new category for myself called middling. So the teams that were 7th and 8th, and the ones that were in 6th by record, but had that max points 4 in 7th and 8th, those are the ones that I have labeled for myself middling. And the point of middling is that this is a team that I need to kind of watch how it's going. There's some of those where I think that I have the depth to potentially boost up the rankings a little bit. Some of them, I think it's just the team is super fragile and they've been riding on some good performances the first couple weeks of the season. And when we get to bye weeks, it might just fall apart really, really hard. And if that's the case, okay, I'm fine turning this into a rebuilder. Or if somebody comes up to me with a really good offer and they're like, hey, I'm going to give you all of these draft picks and just give me all your good players, I might just be inclined to go that route to begin with. But the fact that this team is even middling means that it has some decent players who I might be able to sell off. So with that, I ended up with 22 competing teams, 19 rebuilding teams, and 6 middling teams. Now, notice those numbers don't add up to 54. The rest of them are redraft, which, yes, those are all competing, basically, but I don't want to count them because they are not dynasties. I can't really do anything with those where I could say, hey, I didn't know whether this was competing or not. I have to compete with those, even though some of them aren't doing as well. So with all those teams, I have a little bit of a decision to make. So the 19 rebuilding teams, pretty easy to do. All I need to do is wait for that first week of buys, and then I need to start targeting those managers that are going to have those buys. Those competing teams, I need to make sure that I'm going to be able to start surviving, starting with that week 5 buy. So I want to make sure that I have those teams built out properly. And those are the ones that I also need to focus a little bit more effort on making sure that I'm getting the right guys off of waivers. If I'm not getting those correct guys off waivers, then I'm probably missing out on some points. And then those middling teams, those are the ones that I need to spend a little bit more time on figuring out, do I want to take these in a direction, or do I kind of want to let this team just ride and let it determine its own destiny? You don't need to always force your team into one realm or the other. But if I have a middling team where I have a bunch of highly producing young players, but I'm not sitting there with a lot of other draft capital, I might be inclined to see if I can't tear off of them a little bit and get some more draft capital back. Be able to kind of hit a retool and get myself a little bit more value for the future. Take advantage of the fact that I have these young players and be able to turn them into something that is going to help me in years to come. One of the examples of that is if you look at all of the top remaining wide receivers that for the rest of this season. Every single one of the top 10 wide receivers right now, if you look at the Fantasy Pros ECR, is 27 or under, with the exception of AJ Brown, who is 28. So every single one of those guys has absurd amounts of value right now. Knowing that, if you are sitting there on a team that is rebuilding, you can give a contender points, which is what they want, while also taking advantage of the fact that you've got a young player. If you are sitting there and you have a very fragile team, and you're able to recognize, hey, I'm not actually winning a championship with this team, and maybe you only have your share of picks for this year and for the year after, etc. Well, start tearing down some of those wide receivers. Take those absolute top tier guys and get some value out of them. Because those top tier contenders, they're going to be excited to get one of those guys on their team. But you need that draft capital back. You need something that allows you to try and recoup this value and roll it into future seasons. So that's one realm that you can do for these teams that are either in the middle or rebuilding. And if you're competing, we know the kinds of things that need to be done. Hopefully you have some of those extra draft picks in order to be able to use on all of those bye weeks or to potentially fill those injury holes as they appear over the course of the season. But keep in mind, there's also no rush to go in and spend all that either. If something lands in your lap that, like, hey, this makes a ton of sense. Like, for example, I had somebody offer me Alvin Kamara for just my second round pick today. Well, that to me is a great value, and so I went ahead and took that deal. I wasn't out there trying to seek selling my second round pick or anything like that, but it kind of just came to me. The other manager just spammed it out, and I was the one there to accept it. But it's all about putting yourself in the mindset where that team, I knew for sure that I was competing. That was one where I happened to be second by record and first by points four in that league. So I went ahead and I just knew, hey, this pick is already going to be really late. And I need an Alvin Kamara because it's a best ball league. And I needed more running backs on this team. So he's a great fill-in, especially as I start to get in towards these bye weeks. But what this means for as we get into the beginning of week five, right after these week four games, is you can start shopping for all your rebuilding teams and potentially your middling teams as well, and figuring out, hey, do I want to try and force any of these middling teams into any direction? Do I have anybody who is interested in the players that I have on these rebuilding squads? And you can take week five and focus in on that. And that's going to kind of be our focus throughout this middle portion of the season. So this week 5 through probably like week 10, even week 11 area. Your competing teams should be able to more or less run themselves. Outside of major injuries, outside of it dealing with the fact that you have to get players for bye weeks and things like that, your competitors should be able to just kind of exist, continue to churn forward. The primary focus that you have is finding the right contenders for all your rebuilding squads and all your middling squads as their trade partners. Or if You have a middling squad that you want to turn into a contender. Finding that rebuilding squad who can give you what you need in order to make that next push forward. That's the goal for the next 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And so that's the kind of thing that you need to do right now of making sure that you understand which teams are the ones that you want to do that to. We now have enough data in this season that you should have a pretty good idea of how your teams actually stack up. And so as a result, those are the kinds of things that we're going to make sure that we're optimizing week after week. So that's your homework for the week. Make sure you know the status of all of your teams in all of your leagues. Are they contending? Are they middling? Are they rebuilding? And make sure you have it jotted down somewhere that you don't need to redo this analysis over and over again. Make sure you know that, hey, if I've got this team at the top of my sleeper list, this is a team that is rebuilding. This, if it's at the bottom, it's one that's competing. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm reorganizing my sleeper app so that way all the teams at the top are the rebuilding ones, because those are the ones that I need to focus on right now. When I get to week 11, week 12, I'm going to swap it. I'm going to put all those rebuilding ones at the bottom, all those competitors at the top, because that's when it becomes more important to optimize those competing teams. But right now, because I don't need to optimize them, I just need to let them kind of go with the flow of how they're doing already, I need to make sure that those rebuilding teams, I'm maximizing their values. So I put them at the top, that way I know where they are. And so it helps when I receive a trade offer. Look at the name of the league. All right, cool. This one is right here at the top of the list. That means that it's a rebuilding one. Does this look like a trade that would be a rebuilding one for me? Cool. Then if it's fair, I'll go ahead and accept it. If it's one where it looks like a contending one, and I look and that team's way down at the bottom, okay, you know what? I might consider accepting that one if it feels like I need it in that league. But if it's a contending kind of trade for a team that's right at the top of my list, I don't need to accept that. I can just reject that and save myself the time. So that's the homework that you need to do, is go through and make sure you do that same thing to save yourself the time. So that way you aren't wasting your time redoing your analysis on the leagues that you've already analyzed. If you spend the right amount of time the first time, you should not need to do it again repeatedly over and over. You should always get the same result. So now I'm going to move on to the other two sections of my show every single week. The first one is the spam trade section. I don't have that many for this week, but there were a couple that were interesting to me. First one, Russell Wilson for literally anything. And when I say literally anything, I mean fab dollars, not even draft picks. I actually traded away Russell Wilson to Mike, and I got the full complement of fab from him. He happened to be on a rebuilding team, and he had the full $100 of fab available. And it was a best ball league. Russell Wilson, he's going to give me a zero. But that fab might allow me to get a couple good players over the course of this season. So all in all, I think it was probably a win-win kind of trade. The next guy is the same idea, Najee Harris for literally anything. Except for that, I didn't even really think about trying to do this until after I'd already cut him. I mean, to me, Najee Harris, he's an old running back who just tore his Achilles. I don't really think he's ever coming back to be a relevant player in the NFL. And so I'm fine cutting him and just getting rid of him, but see if he can find somebody to shop him to. Maybe you can get that same amount of fab that I got for Russell Wilson. Maybe you can get a fourth round pick like T-Rock did in one of the leagues that I'm in with him. So that's the second guy. And the third guy, Sterling Shepard, trade him for a third round pick. There's probably somebody out there who will look at Sterling Shepard's performances and then also know the fact that Mike Evans is out for a little bit and will be able to justify spending a third round pick on him, especially in a best ball league. I think it's well worth it if you are looking for somebody to kind of help fill in a spot. Sterling Shepard for a third makes a lot of sense. But right now is the time where you can actually do that and get it done. Because everyone is going to forget about him in a couple weeks as soon as Mike Evans is back, or Chris Godwin is back, or basically you start to see the shakeup in that Tampa Bay receiver room again. The last segment for the week is the tight ends don't matter segment. So last week I played Jake Tongs again, and I got 2 receptions for 21 yards. That was 4.1 points. If you're looking at your normal 10-team lineup league, that replacement level tight end is usually 4.5 points. So you're just below replacement level by grabbing a guy off of the waiver wire. For this next week, I have the choice of 4 different tight ends. I could stick with Jake Tongs again. I could stick with Mitchell, or switch to Mitchell Evans, Tommy Tremble, or Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper making a return after I chose him in week 1. However, I think the reason that Austin Hooper showed up on the list of tight ends to potentially grab is a result of the Steelers being bad against tight end. If you look at the first 3 weeks of this season, every single team that has played them has gotten the best performances out of their tight end position of the 3 teams that they've played so far this year. Seeing that looks like a trend for this season. And so I'm going to be paying attention to what teams are playing the Steelers from this point forward. This next week is Minnesota. Now, obviously we know that DJ Hockenson is the top tight end there. So I'm not going to have anybody to play against the Steelers this week, unless you really, really want to try and sub in Josh Oliver. But in my case, I'm going to stick with Jake Tongs. I've liked what he's done the past couple weeks. There's no reason to switch it up. And if Brock Purdy is in fact back this week, that's a really, really good opportunity for him to get back to actually having a good target share that means something in this offense. We know with Mac Jones, it was not what we really wanted. And so being able to have Brock Purdy back in that backfield throwing the ball is going to help out Jake Tongs a lot. I'm going to stick with him once again. And it's kind of sounding like I probably will be sticking with him until George Kittle comes back. I just need to wait for a good opportunity before I switch off of him. And so far, one has not come to me that is intriguing quite yet. So that's everything that I have for this week. As always, check out everything we have over at southharmonff.com and check out all the partners that we have on there as well. We have so much going on, whether it's on the website, whether it's on the podcast feed, whether it's on the multiple different YouTube channels that we have. And so we have everything that you're going to need for all your content needs over the entire season. So make sure that you're tuned in to everything that we have there. And if you haven't joined, make sure to join the Patreon, link your Discord account, so that way you can talk to me, Mike, Adam, Eric, Fizzle, T-Rock, and everyone else from the South Harmon team. We have an awesome community over there, and it's one of the places that when you want some quick-hitting advice, you're able to get it instantly from all the members of the South Harmon community. If you want to know the value of a player, just quick post a question, see whether people agree with your evaluation or not, or tell you what their evaluation is. Those are some of the things that I utilize to help make sure that I'm not about to send out a trade offer that's going to get me laughed right out of their inbox. Just head over to patreon.com/southharmon in order to join. That's everything for this week, and as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.